with every sovereign state. All the terrorist groups disbanded with no empire left to hate. And they all started planting olive trees.
This is the Quality News Network. In Washington, the Supreme Court ruled in a 5-3 vote that the Bush administration overstepped its authority regarding the detainees at the Guantanamo Bay prison in Cuba, specifically in regard to ordering military war crimes trials for the prisoners. Writing for the majority, Justice John Paul Stevens said those proposed trials are illegal, both under U.S. law and the internationally recognized Geneva Conventions, which protect the rights of soldiers and prisoners of war. At the White House today, the president responded to the court's ruling by saying that he would work with Congress to get their approval so that the U.S. can try terrorism suspects at military tribunals. There are currently about 450 detainees at the U.S. Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay. The decision today did not mention whether the prison should be closed down. Also at the White House today, the president met with the Japanese Prime Minister, who will be leaving office soon. The two countries are united in sending North Korea a message that it is unacceptable to test launch a long-range missile. In Washington, the head of the Veterans Administration announced that the stolen laptop computer and hard drive that held personal information on more than 26 million U.S. veterans has been found. According to a special agent, forensic tests revealed that those sensitive files were not accessed. There have been no arrests in the incident so far. In Kirkuk, Iraq, a suicide bomber today hit a funeral procession. Iraqi police say that 17 people were killed and 50 injured. In the Gaza Strip today, Israel continued its military campaign to secure an Israeli soldier who is said to be in the custody of Hamas gunmen. Israeli troops have arrested dozens of Hamas lawmakers. Meanwhile, Israeli officials say that a hostage was found shot to death in the head in the West Bank. Palestinian militants say they killed him after kidnapping him. At the United Nations today, Iran's foreign minister rejected a July 5th deadline from the Group of Eight industrialized nations for Iran to respond to the package of incentives offered to halt its controversial nuclear program. He stated again that Tehran would respond by August 22nd. In Kuwait, for the first time, women are voting and running for office. Altogether, 25 of the 250 total candidates trying to get a seat on the parliament are women. And in Indonesia, the editor-in-chief of Playboy magazine is named as a suspect in an indecency case. You're listening to QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The oil company BP is under federal investigation for illegally manipulating propane prices in 2004. BP traders are accused of buying large quantities of propane to gain a dominant market position. The company denies any wrongdoing. The Commerce Department reports that in the first quarter of the year, the U.S. economy grew at a 5.6% rate. That's the fastest growth in 2.5 years and more than first thought. An improvement in the country's trade deficit reportedly helped the gross domestic product. The Federal Reserve raised interest rates today by a quarter point to 5.25%. It's the 17th straight interest rate hike. For the third straight week in a row, mortgage rates went up. Freddie Mac reports that the nationwide average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.78%. That's the highest level in more than 4 years. The Labor Department says that first-time claims for state unemployment insurance benefits rose last week to 313,000. That's a slightly larger number than expected. However, analysts say the levels still indicate a healthy job market. Google is launching a payment service that stores users' credit cards so they can purchase items online faster. The internet search engine company is trying to expand its reach. Light Sweet Crude is currently trading at $73.55 a barrel today. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is up 176 points. The Nasdaq is up 49 points. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Six minutes and change after the hour on this Thursday evening here in the hills and hollers of wonderful West Virginia. I am, of course, Bob Kincaid. This is, of course, Head On, the Head On Radio Network. But you know that. No guests on the horizon for tonight. I think we did things up rather royally and regally last night between David Rose and Jacob Hornberger. Two great conversations. Got a note from Jacob Hornberger this morning thanking me for the courtesy and the pleasure of the interview. And I responded in kind. You don't get that very often. The internet is not it's a you know, do my thing and move on kind of place, isn't it? But I did enjoy that conversation. And I enjoyed our conversation also with David Rose, author of Guantanamo. Especially because he brought something to the fore. And that is, if you want to know what's going to happen, not what has happened, but what will happen, what the effects are of the things that transpire in our world day to day and what it'll mean tomorrow, you want to be here. I can prove that. Now, today, America woke up to the news that Justice Stevens had written the opinion in a 5-3 split on the United States Supreme Court that told George Bush not everything that he needs to be told. No, God, no, not even the Supreme Court can write an opinion that long. But told him that what he was doing at Guantanamo was not only wrong, but illegal. Now, had you, and you were, most of you, had people been listening last night, they would have gone to bed knowing that that opinion would come out authored by Justice Stevens, because that's exactly what David Rose told us last night.
It's widely expected that tomorrow the Supreme Court is going to rule in the case of this guy Hamdan, who is in Guantanamo. He's a Guantanamo prisoner, and he's accused of being Osama bin Laden's driver. Well, he admits that. He said, yeah, he was a poor Yemeni with a family to feed, and he answered an advertisement from a rich Saudi Arabian who wanted a driver, and so he became Osama bin Laden's driver. But that was it. He was not a terrorist. He had no sympathy for terrorism. He's facing trial by military commission, but he's challenged the constitutionality of this military commission process. And tomorrow the Supreme Court will announce its decision as to whether these military commissions are constitutional. Well, if they decide that they are not constitutional, that is clearly going to have an immense impact. It's basically going to say that this whole Guantanamo experiment with these trials, supposedly at the kind of pinnacle of the experiment, are a violation of the U.S. Constitution, and I think that will be sending an extremely clear signal. If, on the other hand, they rule the other way, I think the consequences will be very serious, and, yeah, we might expect to see tent cities and chain gangs all along the Rio Grande.
And, well, given the makeup of the current Supreme Court, Mr. Rose, do you have any realistic expectations that this might be struck down?
I don't know. If I were a betting man, and I'm not, I think I would actually nudge towards thinking that it may be struck down. I just received an email from a well-informed observer half an hour ago saying that apparently Justice Stevens has written the lead opinion. Well, if that's the case, then it looks like they may be about to strike it down.
Well, Justice Stevens wouldn't be writing the lead opinion for anything that Scalia or Alito or Roberts or Thomas had a hand in, so... I hope you're right. And he was. Tell me, did NPR have someone on their programming last night who was able to predict with accuracy that Bush's hateful, illegal, filthy little dictatorial fascist tribunal program would be struck down this morning? Did they? With all due respect to our friends elsewhere, did anyone? Did Democracy Now have that? No. Air America? Sorry. No. Right-wing freaks? No. New York Times? Washington Post? Seattle Post-Intelligencer? New Orleans Times-Picayune? Chicago Tribune? Atlanta Journal-Constitution? Miami Herald? Did any of them have that? No. Only one place. Only one place in America. Probably the world. Unless Mr. Rose had an interview prior to hours in which that question got asked as well. Only one place had that advanced information. And that is this program. Now, I'm a little bashful about tooting my own trumpet. I don't come on here and tell you that I've got talent on loan from God. But I will tell you that dot connecting is the number one hobby of each and every member of the Head On Radio Network team. It's a matter of trying to figure out what comes next. And many thanks to our chief engineer, John Fox, for pulling out the... for having the foresight to pull out that clip. This is, you know, I don't care what Special Ed Schultz says about radio efforts that don't involve selling Swedish mattresses or patent impotence herbal remedies.
That's not that's bake sale radio.
Our focus is to be on top of things. Our focus is to be on the cutting edge. Our focus is to look at events and see not just where they are or where they have been, but where they will go. And that's what you got a little dose of last night. Didn't you feel kind of gratified when you heard this morning that in fact the program had been struck down? And that Justice Stevens was the one who wrote the opinion, didn't he? Hey, yeah. You're sitting there over your coffee this morning. I knew that. Heard that on Head On last night. What's the news? Do you realize that you knew things that that nobody at CNN knew? Nobody at Fox, nobody at MSNBC, CNBC, ABC, CBS? Nobody. Only here. And that's what makes this all worthwhile. Because it is a chance to step out outside the so-called professional journalism box. I don't profess to do journalism. Nine times out of ten, Agnes opens this microphone and I have a fit. But we are committed to trying to get it right. When we get it wrong, we'll tell you. But when we get it right, Well, that's especially gratifying, too. So many thanks to David Rose, author of Guantanamo, for making last night a very, very special broadcast. You know, again, I know Bruce talked about it on his show, but that's one of those reasons that we need to let people know that we're here. We're going to get stuff right. And we don't have to have Rupert Murdoch's billions to do it. A telephone, a computer, and a hell of a lot of passion, determination, and dedication. And look what can happen. Right? Yeah. So, you know, that's where we start. And I think, but while gratifying, it's worth, I think we do need to delve a little bit more into this Hamdan opinion today, because it is certainly, you know, the munchkins aren't out and nobody's singing Ding Dong, the Wicked Witch is dead yet. Oh, what a world, what a world, what a world. Let's take a break. When we come back, your thoughts, my thoughts, our thoughts. The phone number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. Email flies right into Bob at headonradio.com. We are the Head On Radio Network.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard. We could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
19 and a half minutes after the hour. I'm Bob. This is Head On. A little bit of my day. Most of it spent in Charleston with my father. And so didn't have an opportunity to get some sound bites from today's joint press conference between Japanese Prime Minister Koizumi and Dear Leader. But you remember, do you remember back when Bush went to India and said, "And I want to thank you for all the mangoes." Or was it papayas? No, it was mangoes. "I want to thank you for your mangoes." Whenever he meets a foreign leader, is somebody in the White House communication staff saying, "And remember to mention a foodstuff"? Because I was listening to part of it as I sat there, and he gets around to this part. You know, he's doing his little speechifying in anticipation of knowing he's going to have to answer a very embarrassing question about the fact that he got his ass handed to him in the Supreme Court today. And he says, and we have a wonderful relationship. You know, Laura and I got him a jukebox. Prime Minister Koizumi, we got him a jukebox. You know, everybody knows we're going to Graceland. Yeah, that's a separate rant altogether. George Bush is taking the Prime Minister of Japan to Graceland. Graceland. Because Prime Minister Koizumi is a well-known and big fan of the king. But somewhere in the process of, in the course of this discussion, Dear Leader blurts out, "And I also wanted to make sure that I thanked the Prime Minister." He dutifully avoided as often as possible saying the gentleman's last name. We know why. I thank the Prime Minister for allowing Japan to have American beef. How we think they're going to enjoy American beef. Oh, you damn doofus, George, they've had American beef for decades. It's only after Republicans started gutting the USDA and we had rules that allowed cows to eat other cows that created prions that ate their brains that killed people. Mad cow, you know? But I want to thank the Prime Minister of Japan for allowing us to send them American beef. I think they're going to like beef. Do you understand that in George Bush's tiny, 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 tiny mustard seed-sized brain, he thinks he has just sent something new and wonderful to Japan, i.e. beef? To wit, beef? Cow meat? Yeah, I think they're going to enjoy American beef. And I was sitting, and these involuntary things happen to me now when George Bush talks. And I was just sitting there, and I suddenly found myself covering my mouth and going, "Ah! Ah!" He does that to me. He makes me scream. I mean, he makes me yelp like I've been poked with a hot, sharp stick without knowing it was a... "Ah!" Yeah, I think the Japanese people are going to enjoy beef. Don't trust me. I'm not gonna ask you. I'm not a religion. Don't believe me. Don't believe in me. Go find it. Listen to it for yourself. It's got to be somewhere out there. I got back here too late to find. I mean, I wrote it down. Get home. Find soundbite. George, Japanese like beef. Okay. I wrote it down. Didn't have time. I apologize. I think Japanese people are going to enjoy beef after all them centuries of eating nothing but whale and blowfish. I know there's news stories I need to be talking about. But does the embarrassment never end? Does it ever, do we ever reach a point where this man, this is turning into like the title of some really twisted Bond movie, 2009 Never Comes. Man, the Japanese people are really going to enjoy American beef. They're going to like eating beef. I like my beef a little bit on the rare side. Not all raw like that whale meat and blubber and stuff. It's sad. I mean, it's like, I mean, listening to that man, watching that man speak, it's like acupuncture with a 16 penny nail, okay? Right where it hurts. And I know I'm not the only one who makes those little noises when he does things like that. But I also noticed something in the course of the conversation that sort of fake talking to a puppy kind of pedantry that he engages, is that the word I'm looking for, that he engages in, where he's explaining things. Because, you see, he thinks he's actually smarter than the rest of us. And he talks kind of slow. And he, see, and the where this came, was when he was asked to comment on the Supreme Court decision, because now he's got a new hat. He's no longer just the decider. Did you catch this today? No, he's not just the decider anymore. He's the commenter. The hand of God. Because the reporter asked him, "Well, I haven't seen the new Supreme Court opinion, and so I'm not prepared to comment. I'd like to comment because obviously I comment on things." And at that point in time, I was just trying to. You know, I was just trying not to get hauled out of the room in a straitjacket. So I was just, I lost. I part of my brain thinks. Part of my brain thinks that he called himself the commenter. I know he didn't. I just know he didn't call himself the commenter. I'd like to comment on this case because that's what I do. I comment on things. That he did say. That he did say, and I heard it. What was I listening to driving home? And just, you know, trying to keep the car on the road. Because he does that to you. This is. Is this Groundhog Day? Rise and shine, campers. It's cold out there. And Sonny and Cher in the background every freaking morning. Every morning I wake up and I'm the decider. I get to comment on things. Japanese people are going to like eating beef. And it, you know, it creeps each day in its petty pace. I can't take much more creeping. He makes me, oh, Lord God, Billy Bob. He actually told the Prime Minister he thought the Japanese people were going to enjoy beef, and he did it in that way where he was, you know, explaining something to a slow person. And because, you know, America is not nearly as smart as he is. And he's going to have to explain to us, you know the Japanese people are getting beef. But it finally dawned on me why he talks that way, because if you've got kids and they start getting a little bit older, you will hear the speech patterns. Well, you know, we're assuming that, you know, it's a, you know, like Agnes and me, you know, the parents are together. Even the parents are divorced. One parent will notice patterns, like speech patterns and things like that, of the other spouse in the children. I can hear Agnes's speech patterns in our children. Really, I can. And it suddenly dawned on me that the reason George Bush talks to the world real kind of slow, like he's explaining it to somebody who's not real quick on the uptake, is because when he was a child, that's the way everything was explained to him. Because he was slow. And he didn't get things real quick-like. And so it manifests itself now And can you, I mean, and all you have to do is think about the bailout Poppy Bush and that hateful old beast Barbara. And you can hear her speaking very slowly in very moderated tones at little Georgie. And suddenly it all becomes clear. Well, George, the Japanese people are buying our cattle again now because they would like to have a steak. You got that, George? And there you have it. There it is. So the next time he makes you want to run off the road, just understand that all he's doing is communicating in the means by which, the only means he knows how, and that is the means by which that hateful old beast used to, you know, lower her voice at, you know, after she'd gargled with scotch and cigarettes. George, doofus, your baby brother Jeff is so much smarter. That's what you're hearing. Nature versus nurture, I'd say this is more nurture than nature. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
We need an antidote and a cure. Cause do you really think Muhammad got a problem with Jehovah? We don't want war. Imagine if every prophet was alive. And current days amongst you and I. You think they would view life like you and I.
Bruce Birch radio program. Weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. Connecting people.
Listen, not only we have the founding fathers and mothers, now we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, sir.
It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I think for the emails, you haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
You're a real, both of you are a total camp.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to retreat to my Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons.
Oh, God, the world's first bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Birch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the Supreme Court? I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what goes on inside the Beltway, it helps to have a Beltway insider. And I know what's going on in Washington because I used to work there as a congressional attorney. And my sources still give me the inside scoop. So check out the inside scoop. Weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic. Mm.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being
using a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a gel.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
For the broken hearted.
Hey, dude, Bon Jovi. 25 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. And just a programming note, God willing, the creek don't rise next Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, after your 4th of July holiday. A special guest I've been looking forward to talking to for a great while now. And it sort of fits in with the overall tone of what I started out yapping about, to wit, this, sort of, beef. Michael Pollan, author, investigative reporter, is going to join us on the program. He is the author of The Omnivore's Dilemma, and I think I started talking about this book sometime back in April. I haven't been blown away by a book like this one, just wiped me out in a long, long time. An amazing piece of reportage, an amazing piece of investigation, and you know it's fun, funny here and there, sort of nightmare scary in other places. And I guarantee you, if you read this book, and you know, go find it through one of the portals on the websites. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com or WhiteRoseSociety.org. You will not be sorry. You'll be glad you bought, in the long run, that you bought this book. And that walk down the meat aisle, I mean, I'm not going to join up with PETA or go out and pretend that peanut butter is a pork chop or anything. But that walk down the meat aisle just isn't the same as it used to be. So Michael Pollan will be joining us on Wednesday evening. That's P-O-L-L-A-N, by the way, if you go searching for the name by author. Michael Pollan, The Omnivore's Dilemma. But, you know, just to back up for a minute, you know, what kills me is the level of cultural ignorance manifested by this darn fool at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You know, it's not just the hilarious stupidity of thinking that he is finally sending beef to the poor benighted souls in Japan who've never had a taste of cow. It's the utter astonishing cultural ignorance. You know, a long, long time ago when I lived a very different kind of life. In other words, before the kids. Before me. Pre-you, baby, pre-you. Yeah. I had Kobe beef. Some would argue that Kobe is a cruel way to raise a cow. Some have said it's the most expensive beef on earth, and if it is, it deserves to be. I like beef. And it is, I mean, this is just fork tender. Yeah, the most egregiously tough piece of cut of meat on the cow, and you know, Kobe is just wonderful. It's pretty, you know, it's Japanese beef. And that darn fool thinks he, wait till them Japanese people get a hamburger. It amazes me. Yes, dear.
You do realize that they turned away beef a while back because of mad cow.
Yes, that's the whole point. Yes, the Japanese board had, the Japanese government had refused American beef because we had had mad cow show up in our beef population. And George, for some reason or another, in his, it makes it sound like he's sending, and wait till we build a McDonald's over there.
It's Spain sending us chocolate.
Huh? Oh, okay.
He'll think that, you know, these people never had it before. He's very,
that's kind of, yeah, where I was, yeah, yeah, exactly. But beyond that, there is the Supreme Court opinion that came out today. And it's not shut down the concentration camp by any stretch of the imagination. And frankly, it's no relief at all. It's hardly any relief at all for the Salim Hamdan. Because all this means is that it goes back to square one and they come up with a new unfair, illegal system by which they can have a kangaroo court convict him and kill him. Although, I guess there was a little victory involved in some of the coverage I heard. It was reported that the government has decided. Now, wait till you get your mind wrapped all the way around this one. The government has decided to allow Hamdan's lawyers to tell Hamdan that he won. 3, 2, 1. Huh?
What, meathead? What?
Oh yeah, yeah. In its munificence and magnanimous decision, George Bush's government will let Salim Hamdan's lawyers tell Salim Hamdan that he won. Feel free to kick whatever is around you. It's moments like this. I'm kind of grateful that there's not a lot of people listening to this program via wireless internet in their automobiles. Because I don't, please don't run it off the road. But you gotta sort of time travel for that one to really sink in. You gotta go back to the days when George III's troops knocked down doors, dragged colonists out and disappeared them in the night and occasionally hung them or whatever, hanged them. Without trial, without proof, without nothing. To really get the full, and you've got to put yourself in the shoes of the likes of Madison. Even Hamilton. And the other framers of the Franklin, Washington, the other framers of the Constitution, and that's how you balance it, because you say, okay, in 2006, the United States government has told a lawyer that he will be permitted to tell his client that he won the case. Then you time travel back couple of hundred years and change. And you tell Thomas Jefferson that. Or better yet, you tell John Adams that, because John Adams was a trial lawyer. You tell him that. President Adams, I'm from the future. And the government that you guys have just set up, one of these days is going to get to the point where it feels like it gets to decide whether a lawyer can tell his client that he actually won the case. And Adams looks at, odds bodkins, man, are you mad? Because, really, I'm not, what in the hell is that? That's a government absolutely drunk on its own power. Because you understand, the trials that were set up for these guys, that was the subject of the Hamdan case, really is something straight out of Kafka. Because they were going to have a military tribunal for this guy, and they weren't going to let his lawyers see the evidence that the government was going to put forward against their client. Now, I know it's easy to beat up on lawyers and, what do you call 99 lawyers in a bus with 100 seats, goes down in flames over a mountain cliff and all 99 die? Ha, ha, ha. Damn shame because of the empty seat. Ha, 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 ha. That's funny. Lawyers are bad. But the fact of the matter is, this society was crafted on the very... on the idea of representation. And they have magnanimously decided to... You know, and what, why would they not let Hamdan know that he won? Woohoo! I am a winner! Where are my legal fees? Big prayer party in the dog cage tonight. He's in Guantanamo. This guy literally, if you were listening to the interview last night, this guy literally answered an ad in the classified section of the Saudi Daily Bugle. You know, the Riyadh Scimitar of Freedom, moral hornblower. That said, wanted, wealthy Saudi businessman needs driver. Apply such and such an address, and he applied, and he got the job, and he winds up, you know, he winds up the wheel man for Osama bin Laden. At least that's the charge or the claim. And that's it. There's no charge that he ever shot at an American. There's no charge that he had any hand in the planning of 9/11 or the suicide of Building 7, 6, whichever. There's no charge that he so much as brought a cold cup of coffee to Ayman al-Zawahiri. He's being tried for being him. He's being tried for being a working stiff who was kind of, I mean, the pay was better than usual, and he took the job. And for 4 years, he's rotted away, literally, in a dog cage, smaller than the size of a queen-size bed in Guantanamo, with a faucet sticking out of the wall that he has to grovel on the floor like an animal to drink water that's already brackish and is yellow and sulfurous in the first place. This ain't that's not my country. No, hell no, that's Cuba. No, that's the American end of Cuba, baby. Don't foist this one off on Fidel. But does it make your head spin too? Wow. And he won. Now he can't be tried by a military tribunal with appeal to the Secretary of Defense and ultimate appeal to giver of life George W. Bush. That can't happen. Well, what happens, Bob? No idea. They got to make up another one. That's the thing. They get to make up another one. Oh, but wait, no, there's a remedy, because Bill the Cat Killer Frist, diagnoser by videotape. Hi, I'm Dr. Frist. Can I watch your videotape? Ran right out onto the Senate floor and said, if the Supreme Court says that what we need is a congressional statute that allows the president to try these little hodgies and then kill them like God wants them to be, then that's what the Senate will do. And that creepy little effete Lindsey Graham from South Carolina is going, yeah, that's what we're going to do. And, of course, this terrifies our party. This terrifies the Democrats. Because they don't dare stand up for the Constitution. They don't dare stand up for civil liberties. They don't dare stand up and say that this thing was wrong from the get-go, and they would oppose it whether the power was being wielded by a Democrat or a Republican, that sometimes in this life right is right and wrong is wrong. Oh, no, can't do that. Jiminy. So, well, you know, we do have, we've got a boatload of problems in America. The feds raised the interest rate by just a little bit today, and the Dow was so excited it went up 200 points. Because apparently the economy didn't suck quite as bad as they thought it was going to. It astonishes me. It simply blows my mind. Agnes Kincaid, you have a sick sense of humor. play and stay. This one goes out to our buddy Salam Hamdan in Guantanamo. That's my head. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Nickelodeon has kids to talk to their parents about, you know, no way.
Boy and girl stuff.
A girl in my school, in elementary school, had told me about it, but she told me the wrong thing. She told me something totally wrong. And when I asked my mom, I didn't know how she was going to react to the question. But then I figured it'd be better to ask her and get the right information. So I went out and I got my books and I brought pictures and I explained, this is what really happened. I was shocked. My mom told me the truth, which was totally different from what she said. So that's how I kind of handled it. I realized that she was a little bit uncomfortable. Her top lip gets really skinny. It's like this. Sometimes I can feel my lip getting skinny because she's brought it to my attention before I didn't realize it, and now I can feel it happening, and I'm kind of afraid.
But it doesn't work.
Talk together.
A part of the big help.
For more information, go to nick.com.
Help me a lot.
Seven minutes before the hour, I'm Bob. Yeah, our good friend Gene sent me an article, Senator Frist to push Guantanamo bill. Yeah, because all the Supreme Court said, all the Supreme Court said was that the present plan doesn't work and it was in violation. That it was in violation of the federal law and the separation of powers and the Geneva Convention and probably the rules of baseball. So this from the Associated Press. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist said Thursday he would push legislation allowing President Bush to use military tribunals to prosecute terrorism suspects at Guantanamo Bay. And, you know, I was driving today, and of course that means, you know, I got to hear some right-wing freak radio. And that meant that I got to hear people calling in and saying, I can't believe these activist judges would allow terrorists to roam free on the streets of America. No kidding. Really. I mean, where are we with the America, with the so-called American people? Does America know that most of the people at Guantanamo haven't even been charged with anything by the military tribunal or by the milkman or nothing? Do they know that? Do they know that the majority of the people who are at Guantanamo were turned in on $5,000 bounties from the Northern Alliance? Do they know? How would they react? Guesses? Your guess literally is as good as mine. Do you think that if you told, you know, at the First Knee-Jerk Baptist Church and Herpetological Seminary, if you told them that there was a guy, I mean, and let's work it this way. In deepest, darkest Africa, there is a man who is being held by a cruel government, and he has never been charged with nothing. And the government, the military there, is going to try him, and he could be killed. Isn't that awful? You know, there at the Knee-Jerk Baptist Church, they say, well, he needs a missionary. We need to get missionaries and Bibles to him. Well, he needs to be freed. He's probably a political prisoner. I bet he's put in prison because he couldn't worship Jesus like he needed to. I mean, you know this. But then you say, okay, I was pulling your leg. The guy's in Guantanamo Bay. He was a goat herd in Afghanistan. Some people, he was sold by his neighbors for $5,000 to the Northern Alliance, who then transferred him to Bagram Air Base, where he was then subsequently transferred to Guantanamo Bay. He has not known or seen the freedom in 4 years. He doesn't know why he was there. He never committed any act against the United States. And he's never been charged, and he's not going to be charged, and the United States has no idea what they're going to do with him except maybe let him live there the rest of his life and die and rot. Well, that's different. He's terrorist. Where are the American people? Are we at a point where we just, well, you know, it's those people. I mean, we've already killed 150,000 of them, women and children, so, you know, 300 or so in dog cages in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. It's no big thing. Is that where America is? I mean, that was the America I heard, or some weird portion of it. I heard a 14-year-old call in and say, "I'm
smarter than these Supreme Court judges. They're putting my daddy at risk because he's in the Navy."
Screw you, little kid. You're obviously dirt ignorant.
No, just needs to be taught.
14 years old and calling Flush Flimball?
Needs to be taught.
Kids beyond teaching, Agnes.
No. I don't agree.
So, and I mean, it was just hateful. And then there was the guy who said, can you imagine if one of these here terrorists was to go up to New York and get in front of one of them Jimmy Carter federal judges that he packed the bench with and got bail? How would the Supreme Court feel about them terrorists walking around on the streets of New York City because they've been bailed out by a liberal federal judge appointed by Jimmy Carter? As God is my witness, it was said. It went out all over airwaves all over the country. And I was having a hard time keeping the vehicle on the road. Gone out to see, Dad's not eating real well, and I'd gone out to get him a sandwich from Schlotsky's, because he likes them, hoping that would sort of fire up his appetite. One of these liberal judges, Jimmy Carter appointed, grant him bail. How stupid are the wingnuts? How dumb are they? I know we're accused of being elitists, but sometime, sooner or later, you got to ask this question. How daggum dumb are they? The monkeys and the flimball people. How stupid are they? That's up to you. The phone number, of course, is 877-443-2366. It's 877, the number 4, head on. News is next on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The stock market rallied today with the biggest one-day gains for the Dow and NASDAQ in more than 3 years. We'll have the closing numbers at the end of the newscast. In Washington, Bush administration officials say today's ruling by the Supreme Court about Guantanamo Bay will not affect how the prison is run. One official said the decision only affects, quote, the question of trial by military commission, end quote. The 3-5 ruling found that holding military trials for the prisoners goes against both U.S. and international law. But President Bush says he'll work with Congress to allow the trials to go forward. In Gaza City, Palestinian militants have reportedly agreed to a conditional surrender of an abducted Israeli soldier. The terms of his release are not known. Israel has postponed a planned invasion into northern Gaza, but continues its offensive in the southern part of the city. Israel has vowed to avenge the death of a kidnapped settler whose body was found today in the West Bank. In Moscow, foreign ministers from the group of 8 industrialized nations now say they're expecting an answer from Iran by July 5th about a package of incentives. But a U.S. official says Iran may not give a simple yes or no answer to halting its nuclear program. On Capitol Hill, the House continues to push for drilling rights in the Gulf of Mexico and other U.S. coastal areas. If a proposed bill passes, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama would rake in billions of dollars in a revenue-sharing agreement. Also on Capitol Hill, Republicans are debating a resolution that would condemn newspapers for publishing information about secret surveillance programs. That comes after the recent revelation that the government has been secretly tracking financial transactions as a way to catch potential terrorists. In Alabama, former Governor Don Singelman was found guilty today of trading favors for campaign funds over a nearly 10-year period. The case was tried as he was running for the Democratic nomination for governor, which he subsequently lost. The Associated Press reports that President Bush's plan to have 2,500 National Guardsmen on the Mexican border by June 30th will not be met. That's because only 10 states have responded, sending less than 1,000 troops total. Many state officials say Guardsmen are too busy responding to flooding in the east and wildfires in the west. On the East Coast, officials now blame at least 16 deaths on the rains and subsequent flooding. They say the worst of the flooding has now passed, but, quote, cleanup is going to be massive.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Federal Reserve raised interest rates today up a quarter point to 5.25%. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. economy grew at a 5.6% rate in the first quarter. That's the fastest growth in 2.5 years. Freddie Mac reports that mortgage rates rose for the third week in a row. The nationwide average rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.78%. Ford Motor says it will not produce 250,000 hybrid vehicles by 2010 as previously promised. The company says it instead wants to focus on alternative fuels such as ethanol, clean diesel, and biodiesel. Verizon Wireless has announced the penalty customers pay for breaking their cell phone contracts is being reduced. Starting in the fall, the fee will be based on how much time remains on their current contract. The $5 bill is being redesigned to thwart counterfeiting efforts. The design changes have been announced, although the bill will still feature President Lincoln's mug. Microsoft has announced a delay in the release of the Office 2007 software due to performance problems. Big business customers will now receive it at the end of the year instead of October, and others will receive it in early 2007. Light sweet crude settled at $73.52 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 217 points, NASDAQ up 62, S&P 500 up 27. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
And we're back. Because I really did go somewhere that time. Had to step outside the door. Root beer refills for everyone. 6 minutes after the hour. And an email from a couple of emails. One from our good friend David in Middle Tennessee, somewhere near Nash Vegas, talking about the chimp speaking. He speaks that way because he wants it that way, or he can't understand. Sadly true. You know, at some point in time, and I guess maybe I focus on this because of circumstances, we go through our lives and we are our parents' children. And at some point in time, you start looking in the mirror and screaming in horror, I'm turning into my... Yeah, girls say mom, boys say dad. But it wasn't just my folks. It was the whole system around me. And, you know, I can't speak for what it's like growing up in the Midwest or out on the West Coast or up East. I grew up down South. And, man, we had the patriotism hammered into us at an early age. And I'm not saying that that was bad. Heck, I don't think the upbringing I had in the Bible was bad because it provides me with a potent defense to these freaks who are trying to sell a distortion of the Bible to the American people. You know, Dobson, Falwell, that crowd. But patriotism in particular was drilled into our heads. And there were things said, you know, about you had to be a great man to be the president of the United States. And yeah, it was man back then. I'm sorry. And I just wonder where or what mostly I had my first male teacher in sixth grade. So those ladies who were there in the elementary school and taught me all those things so early in my formative years, I wonder what they, and I know a lot of them aren't alive anymore, and I wonder what they would think those who said, well, you know, the president is always a great man because he's the president. Would they still be there with that even now? Looking at a press conference like we had today? I mean, diplomacy is diplomacy, and you got to have some diplomacy, and I'm not here to pinch pennies or anything like that. But I bet you, you know, this ain't no road trip in the pickup truck with Prime Minister Koizumi to Memphis, to Graceland. You know, with Paul Simon singing in the background. and some long necks on ice in the cooler in the bed of the truck. This is not that. Or if it is that, it is a much more expensive version of that. Because I'm sure that it... Have they left yet? George Bush was taking Prime Minister Koizumi to Graceland. Yes, Agnes? Looking at me like I got...
Like a cow looking at a new gate.
Like a cow looking at a new gate, sure. Yeah, dear leaders taking Koizumi to Graceland. On Air Force One. At what? How many thousand dollars per hour in the air?
It's hard to say how much is that going to cost us.
And, you know, I don't mean to say, I'm not bitter. But I mean, does dear leader have to go? I mean, is he the eponymous last word on Elvis fandom? I'm guessing not.
Michael Jackson will take him
up. I just wonder what those little old ladies would think. An email in from our friend Larry. In Canonsburg, PA, President Bush will either ignore the Supreme Court ruling or issue a statement that he reserves the power to disregard court rulings. He will, of course, state that his power to combat terrorism trumps all laws and decrees. Let's face the facts. Bush and Cheney operate completely outside of the sphere of constitutional principles. They will create a new Guantanamo and continue on as if the court does not exist. Congress is powerless to stop him, as they are cowards and will not risk being called soft on terror. They have, in effect, become American dictators and answer to no one. The only solution is impeachment. Short of that, nothing will change. Well, there's... Stop it. Agent Fred. Nothing. And see, that's the thing. Guantanamo isn't shrinking. You know, dear leader said the other day, I'd like to close it down, but there's too many problems. I don't know what we don't know what we'd do with the prisoners. Guantanamo is expanding. There are new facilities being built. There are new, and here's the fun, you know, this is irony. There are new wind turbines going up. Windmills at Guantanamo to supply electric power. You know, for the jumper cables and the things that we attach to various parts of the prisoners there. Yeah, windmill powered torture. Now, as a green, doesn't that want to make you run screaming into the night? As someone, and by green, I don't mean the political party. I mean someone who thinks in terms of clean, renewable energy sources. I mean, if you want the whole image to be right, you build a great big stinking nasty coal-fired power plant there that looks a lot like Mount Doom from Lord of the Rings. Huffing and belching and puffing out filthy, acrid, black smoke that stinks of brimstone. Now that's your electricity generator of choice when you're, you know, pumping electricity into chairs and body parts. And shower caps. See, Agnes, I didn't go where you thought I was going to go, did I? No. I'm better than that. Guantanamo is going nowhere. Because we haven't demanded that it be ended. Yeah, how long have we been working, me and that mouse in my pocket, because I've been there so many times, how long have we been working on the School of the Americas? There are nuns in prison over the School of the Americas, and we are still training. We're running out of right-wing dictatorships to train at the School of the Americas. It's pretty much all Colombians there now. Well, some Guatemalans, some Hondurans, some Salvadorans, some Panamanians. But we don't have any Venezuelans there anymore. No Brazilians, no Bolivians, no Chileans, no Argentinians. Slim pickings at the School of the Americas. And maybe that's the lesson. Maybe the Americas had to change instead of the School of the Americas shutting down. But Guantanamo is going nowhere. and more is the pity. Do you realize? Only 10 people. There are 400 and some odd souls at Guantanamo. And I'm not going to comment on whether they are good people or bad people, but what they are at the bottom line is people. Not sheep, not cattle, not dogs. Not, as I heard it referred to on right-wing radio today, animals. People. People with brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and mothers and fathers. Sons and daughters. Not animals. People. And of the 400 plus people, human beings, currently imprisoned, not housed, not detained, daggummit, imprisoned in the concentration camp, and yes, it is a concentration camp, of the 400 and some odd human beings imprisoned at the concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, as of the moment of that we are communicating and sharing, only 10 of those human beings were even charged under Dear Leader's kangaroo court system. Only 10. Hamdan was one of them. And now it starts all over again. It took him 4 years to win this court case. And now they have to redesign the process. It'll be another 4. And the Justice Department lawyers and the military lawyers and the Pentagon lawyers and the White House lawyers are all snickering up their $225 a pop French cuff shirt sleeves. But only 10 people there, only 10 people have been charged. 300 and some odd, no charge, no nothing, literally living in a Kafkaesque nightmare. One day they're herding the goats. The next day they're drugged and on an airplane for the Western Hemisphere. It might be 50 degrees when they get picked up. It's 90 degrees when they get let out in chains and have not been out of their chains in those 4 years. The good boys got to watch the Saudis play soccer in a rerun with all the commercials taken out. Now, the dissenting opinion was in this case today was authored by Slappy Thomas, who said basically, the majority's opinion today will greatly hinder Dear Leader's attempts to fight terrorism and protect the American people. Leading judicial light, he isn't. Because, see, the question wasn't put forward, does this kangaroo court help protect American people or fight terrorism or any of that other stupid, ignorant, fraudulent claptrap? The question put forward today is it legal to do this? And the best that the minority could come up with was, screw legal, we're not interested in legal. We're interested in giving George Bush his whatever he wants. And this will hinder you. It's not going to... First, okay, shall we go over this? You cannot have a war against a noun or an adjective? War on drugs, war on terror. And an abstract noun at that, terror. You can't have a war. Secondly, it's not been declared, as Jacob... Hornberger noted last night, this is an undeclared war. Congress never declared war, so that. And the best thing that the right wings, and we're talking about here, Scalia, Alito, and Thomas joined in this opinion. Johnny Robbs stayed out of it because he authored the Circuit Court of Appeals opinion in which he said, yeah, do to him anything you want to. George, you're God. But, of course, you know, these are religious freaks, Alito and Scalia, at the very least, who, you know, part of a society that runs around, you know, stabbing itself with barbed wire and beating itself with whips. So what's a little detention? What's a little razor wire to them? But the best they could come up with was not, this is legal. The best they could come up with, and they let, you know, since they knew they were going to lose, they let Slappy Thomas write the losing opinion, the dissent. Best they could come up with was, well, dear leader, I won't be able to do whatever he wants to now. Dang. That's it. Three members of a nine-member court that are supposed to be the greatest intellects in American jurisprudence. And the three dissenters, the best they can come up with is, but we wanted to kill him. We didn't want to. We wanted to let George Bush kill him. But the fact of the matter is, Justice Stevens' opinion raised it very eloquently. He said this is a plain violation of the separation of powers. To set up a trial circumstance in which a human being's only recourse of appeal is to Donald Rumsfeld and George Bush? And the White House, with no enabling statute, no enabling legislation whatsoever, says, and that's how it is, and that's how it's going to be, and you judges can stay the heck out of this because you ain't got nothing in. You ain't no dog in this fight. And that one of those right-wing morons I heard this afternoon said, where does this notion come from? That a judge can just come in and say that a court has the right to overturn a decision of the executive. Shh, you moron. That idea comes from Marbury versus Madison. When none other than John Marshall wrote that the court will, by God, interpret any daggum law that it chooses, sees fit to interpret. Because that's the Supreme Court's job, and it's the Supreme Court's job because I say it's the Supreme Court's job. Amazing. Amazing the level of stupidity that exists on the right. Just astonishing. So, there you have it in a not-so-tiny nutshell. If you can, and, you know, yesterday, we let one slide by yesterday, Supreme Court opinion. Yesterday, they said that prisoners of foreign nations have no recourse to the Vienna Convention, to which we signed off. Vienna Convention does not matter with an American who's been imprisoned, or rather a non-American who's been imprisoned. No recourse to the Vienna Convention. Astonishing. We're coming unglued here. Can we change the vocabulary about Guantanamo? Please. And if you talk to someone about it in the line at the grocery store, standing around in Target or Costco or whatever, if it comes up, can you please start saying the concentration camp at Guantanamo? And then you'll have the chance to do a little educating. Because it is a concentration camp. Everyone there is of one gender. Everyone there is of one ethnicity, or nearly. Everyone there is of one religion. There are dogs. There are torture chambers. There are inhumane conditions by any yardstick you choose to use. It is a concentration camp. Can we please start calling it that? Just because the Germans didn't build Guantanamo doesn't mean it's not a concentration camp. Just because there isn't a swastika doesn't mean it's not a concentration camp. Just because there aren't Jews, Gypsies, and Roma there doesn't mean it's not a concentration camp. Guantanamo compares almost identically with any re-education camp the Vietnamese or the Cambodians ever built, with anything the Germans ever did, with any of the gulags from Stalinist Russia. It is what it is, and what it is a concentration camp. You know, I try to be candid on this program. I'm not somebody on this air that I'm not when the mic goes off. And so it's only fair to say that I walk around spending a lot of time thinking about the human condition these days. I do that as a matter of general principle, but even more so right now under the circumstances my family is in. And it's I have so much appreciation for the people who are taking care of my father right now. I watched them come in and change my father's sheets and bed linens and clothing today. And I sat there and what those nurses do is heroic in every sense of the word. I could not do it. A lot of people can't. I'm one of them. But in humane circumstances, it is hard to maintain the humanity of a patient. You understand what I know the nurses who are listening know what I'm talking about. You try so hard. And just trying to preserve essential human dignity is difficult. No matter, and that's with you pouring your entire heart and soul into it. Now stop for a minute and subtract the attempt to be human. Subtract the attempt to maintain dignity. Subtract the attempt to treat someone as a member of the human race. And understand that after all that subtraction, it is still American and it is still Guantanamo Bay. And if you ruminate on that long enough, you will weep. Because, Sunshine, it's not being done by George Bush or by the military or by Rumsfeld. Well, it is. But when you get down to it, and this is the stuff that'll put you off your kibble, it's being done in your name. It's being done in my name. It's being done because George Bush is afraid that them terrorists... He came out today and he said that no matter the Supreme Court opinion, these criminals are not going to be walking the streets. Jesus, they're in Cuba! If they were walking any streets right then, they'd be walking the streets of Havana. These terrorists are not going to walk the streets of America. It's being done in your name, and it is a concentration camp, and it people die, and people starve, and people commit suicide there, and they're people! Lord God, they're people. And some Republicans are out there calling them animals? You can go on the internet and find archival material from Nazi Germany where they referred to Jews as animals. My heart breaks. I'm not prepared to pass judgment on whether these are good people or bad people. I'm merely saying that they're people. That they had a mother, they had a father. That they were once dandled on the knee of a favorite uncle or a grandfather or a grandmother. They're people. If you cut them, they bleed. If you electrocute them, they shake and scream. And they have bled, and they have shaken, and they have screamed, and it was done in your name. And mine, and that of my children, your children, grandchildren, your neighbors. We've got to, I don't know where we find some wing nuts to talk with, but I guess somewhere along the way we do. We've got to talk. Because I need to know if these cowardly Republican SOBs, do they get up every day afraid? Do they live in that kind of terror? We've talked about this before. Do they? Jesus, I'm so glad some goat herd is in a dog cage in Cuba, burning up in the hot Caribbean sun. I'm so relieved. Is that how their minds operate? If what I heard today was indicative, it is. And that is enough to make you worry like hell for the future of this nation. So let's take a break. No, let's don't take a break, Agnes.
We're getting ready to take one, Bob.
Well, you know the phone number. 877-443-2366. The number 4, head on. Bob@headonradio.com is the email. And I'm Bob.
To WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. Teamsters President Jim Hoffa says a card check agreement is a major boost to help the union organize UPS Freight, a non-union subsidiary of UPS with 15,000 workers.
It's a tremendous breakthrough, really big news. We're all very excited about it. And we're already out collecting cards, and we're picking a location where we're going to do this. We're 100% that it's going to work.
Hoffa also says getting UPS to agree to early contract negotiations will help protect Teamster pensions and health coverage.
UPS is making a lot of money. We've got a pretty good relationship with them. We're going to be able to really protect our members, get them wage increases, increase our health care, and to make sure everybody's protected with health care and pensions.
Even with harsh words being fired on all sides, the Connecticut AFL-CIO voted on Tuesday to endorse incumbent Senator Joe Lieberman over his opponent Ned Lamont in the August Democratic primary. Supporters say that during his history, Lieberman has only voted against AFL-CIO priorities 25% of the time, but his opponents focused on issues such as the Iraq War, Social Security, and predominantly his votes in favor of free trade. Ken De La Cruz is president of the Metal Trades Council.
I hope that after this is over, that we can get Joe Lieberman, all of us, even for the ones that get along greatly with Joe, and to beat the shit out of him.
Paul Filson, director of the Service Employees International Union in Connecticut, cited a position that many progressives identify as a major issue with the Connecticut senator, a perceived close relationship with the current Republican president.
He supports the worst boss this country has ever had, George Bush.
The endorsement by the Connecticut AFL-CIO is viewed by the Lieberman camp as an important victory, and they say it shows accusations that the senator doesn't reflect progressive ideals are unfounded.
It looks like 52,000 child daycare workers in New York State will get union rights after all, despite a veto by Republican Governor George Pataki. New York Working Families Party spokesman Alex Navarro says the party put pressure on the GOP-controlled state Senate to deliver an overwhelming override vote. The Democrat-controlled Assembly is expected to vote on that override soon.
Initiatives like this are critical if we're going to stop the middle class of this country from disappearing. So we're optimistic and excited that this initiative will soon become law in New York.
Here is today's economic report. The housing market showed further signs of cooling Wednesday as the Mortgage Bankers Association released numbers showing mortgage applications on the decline. Applications dropped by nearly 7% last week. The National Association of Realtors said on Tuesday that sales of existing homes also fell in the United States, down by 1.2% in May.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Bruce Burke's radio program, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m., connecting people.
Listen, not only do we have the founding fathers and mothers, now we got the founding sisters. Don't forget about that, sir.
It's Wicked Witch of the North, huh, Peter?
Jim, I'm the Wicked Witch of the South. Glad to meet you, buddy.
Well, listen, I sent you an email. You haven't replied.
Dude, I replied to your email. I told you that we wanted to have you in chat.
I can't do it. They won't let me in.
Oh, please.
Is this a good idea?
You're a real, both of you are a total camp.
Bruce, I love you more.
Uh-oh. Oh, my God. I'm going to have to retreat to my Barbara Cartland novels and my box of bonbons and the camera passenger.
Oh, God, the world's first bitch fight on internet radio.
This is great. This is great. So, do I have to flip a coin, or what's the deal here?
Don't miss Bruce Burch, weekdays, 5 to 7 p.m. on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, 23 and a half minutes before the hour. We're halfway through tonight's edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid from our good friend Robert in Japan. He says, I wanted to chit-chat about the beef issue, but ran out of time. Anyhow, I wouldn't buy it here in Japan. All beef in Japan is labeled, and most tend to shy away from it just because of their doubts. I've heard horror story after horror story of American and British slaughterhouses where safety issues are a moot point. One colleague told me about beef that was yellow with age in a British slaughterhouse and that was still going to be cut up and sold. She walked out a vegetarian. If we knew the truth about these places, then we would all be. But the issue is not just with Japan, but with all of Asian countries, and it's about not selling good food, but making a fast buck. It's also about Japanese ranchers making a fast buck off of stopping the imports, so it's an issue that doesn't just stop with American beef ranchers. Adding fuel to safety concerns. This is an excerpt. Adding fuel to safety concerns among Japanese consumers is the spate of revelations in recent months that bones have been found in imported American beef in Hong Kong and Taiwan in violation of agreements Hong Kong and Taiwan have reached with the U.S. Oh, yeah. You know, there's just this ugly little sort of worldwide con. You know, the Japanese beef producers were thrilled to death to have the ban on American beef because it was good for their business. American meat producers are having a fit, but by the same token, regulation's dirty, regulation's ugly, regulation's evil. So we can't have more inspectors in the abattoirs. Pathetic. Just pathetic. Oh, where do we go next? I hope you didn't object to the time I spent on Guantanamo. But if we are going to save this country, I'm beginning to believe that saving this country begins at Guantanamo. No country that calls itself decent or moral or upstanding, no country that calls itself a democracy or a republic has any business possessing a Guantanamo. Don't you agree? This is, it's a gut, you know, it's a gut check. It's a test. At least as far as I'm concerned. Now, a couple of things from last night. And this, again, you know, it's about 50 miles from here to Charleston. And so that's about an hour's worth of right-wing radio down and an hour's worth of right-wing radio back. And I listen to right-wing talk radio the way that, you know, people just sort of instinctively slow down when driving by a car wreck. You know it's going to be awful, but somehow you can't stop yourself. And so here in West Virginia, if I understand the story correctly, West Virginia University, in conjunction with WV Free, which is a pro-choice organization, wanted to put out an educational, well, not wanted, but did put out an educational pamphlet for physicians regarding the proper prescription of a pill called, and wait for it, you know it, RU486. It's the abortion pill. It can be taken any time up to 7 months. Or not 7 months, jeez. Oh, getting a little punchy. Any time up to 7 weeks into the pregnancy to terminate the pregnancy. And of course the right wing fundamentalist strychnine drinking, snake handling pharmacists out there are all in an uproar. Of course, they still gladly dispense Viagra to unmarried males. Never mind. No, this couldn't be a sex issue. This couldn't be a gender issue, could it? There couldn't be any sexism involved in all that. No. But anyway, West Virginians for Life, of which organization our erstwhile Democrat governor is a member. Wow. Goes to their little meetings and has dinner with them and parties with them and stuff. Looks at pictures of aborted fetuses, shock and horror. And, you know, my goodness, show me another one. No, they had a hissy on the air today on the local station down in Charleston. The right-wing station down in Charleston is the number one station in the market because it's pretty much the only game in town because all the other AM stations are doing right-wing garbage too. So, you know, necessarily one pile of garbage is going to be better than another pile of garbage. This particular pile of garbage is owned by the guy who's running for Senate against Robert Byrd. Name's John Racey. And, I mean, he is crazier than a sprayed roach. But he owns a bunch of radio stations. So he can spew his craziness to, you know, the likes of, right-wing fundy strychnine drinkers around the state. And I go, yes, he's a friend of Jesus. But he's going to have a hard time out-Jesusing Robert Byrd. But anyway, that's not the point. They spent an hour on this program that I was listening to on the way home. They spent an hour on West Virginians for Life having a hissy fit at the fact that the West Virginia University Medical School joined with WV Free to do this education program for how to prescribe RU486 for physicians in West Virginia.
And they had a woman who sounded a little bit like this on the air saying, I just think if they had done this with a right to life group, the liberal media would be having a scream about that. There would be no end to it. We'd be hauled into court for it. Why can't we question?
Well, lady, it's because you're a moron. But I could not believe that, given everything else that was going on. Well, information came out about Sago, the mine disaster that was reported today. Randall McCloy, the only survivor of that little bit of corporate hell. The sleaze bags at International Coal Group came out and called him a liar for saying that the self-contained rescue apparatus, the self-contained breathing devices that chemically provide 1 hour of oxygen. He said that a bunch of them didn't work, and that's why his colleagues died, his co-workers died. And the International Coal Group said, liar. You just liar. And so the David McAteer, who is the lead investigator on this, sat down and got an extension on the due date for his report to interview extensively Randall McCloy Jr. And this was the above-the-fold headline in the Charleston Gazette today, McCloy's account. And he made it very clear that he knew how to use these things, and he did everything he could to make these things work. And they failed. And meanwhile, you know, the International Coal Group is doing everything it can to try, you know, to try to keep from protecting the lives of its miners. Because, you know, it's a everything operated by the International Coal Group is a non-union hellhole. And miners are more replaceable than equipment is. It's pathetic. But that was an excellent topic to cover. But instead, the right-wing freak, a guy named Agnello, spent the better part of an hour babbling away with this benighted idiot from West Virginians for Life, complaining about an education program for physicians dispensing RU486. And honest to God, I thought he was going to take his clothes off and have a run at her. He was so enamored of her. It was just sickening. I think she was just turning him on, because, you know, he's pro-life. He is, and he supports troops. Supports George Bush. So he had plenty of time to talk about West Virginians for Life and that evil satanic abortion pill. But no time to talk about the fact that at Sago, miners died because the International Coal Group is a bunch of negligent, murderous, homicidal cheapskates who couldn't be bothered to provide the equipment necessary to keep their miners alive in a disaster. Again, I ask you the question, where is America? Is this it? I mean, is right-wing talk radio a slice of Americana? Is that the majority that they would have you believe is this country? It was just disgusting. We'll come back and move along. I've got a couple of other stories you've got to hear. Leftovers from prayer meeting, as it were. The number, 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by. Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
Well, I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
I'm just a kid.
I'm 6.
I'm 9.
I'm 4.5.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
John Kerry's campaign used It's a Beautiful Day, and Bill Clinton's campaign used Don't Stop Believing. Remember? It was kind of like the unofficial theme song. What you just heard there is should be the unofficial theme song of every Democrat in America for the next 3 or 4 years. People who can worry more about a pill than about the lives of people who go a mile into the earth and, you know, make it possible for these freaks to turn their computers on. Yeah, no more Mr. Nice Guy. We get right up in the face. You freak. You know, I wish I was sitting there punching the cell phone, you know, cause, and they wouldn't take calls because they knew that this woman would wither under any kind of criticism whatsoever.
Well, I have a question.
Ask. And it shall be answered unto you.
If they're so worried about the pill, then why not get rid of condoms, too?
They'd like to.
And sew everybody up.
Oh, no. That's the thing. This is sexism, dear. This is pure, unmitigated, unadulterated sexism. This is because, and the women who have been sucked into the so-called right-to-life movement, they're kind of like those people in the ghettos during the Holocaust who would turn in turn in their neighbors in order for an extra ration of bread. This is sexism. This is about the resentment of conservative males. It has nothing to, if it had anything to do with the sanctity of life, there would be a program, there would be more programs for poor, hungry children. There wouldn't be any hungry children. This is sexism, dear. This is about conservative men who are scared to death of powerful or empowered women and trying to figure out any way that they possibly can to get them back out of their shoes, back out of their pants, back into the kitchen and pregnant.
But I still don't understand why these women want to do this. It just amazes me.
Well, because they think Jesus told them to. You know, the other hot button debate today, driving back up the road, was I guess there's a high school in Harrison County, West Virginia, that has a quote unquote portrait of Jesus.
What?
This I want to see, but it's been hanging there for 30 years, and the ACLU finally got around to saying, you know, look, we're going to sue you. Good.
They have a portrait of Jesus at the high school?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it
blonde-haired, blue-eyed?
Catholic high school?
No.
Christian high school?
No.
Ah.
Public high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
take it down. First of all, it's not. You know, and so, in discussing, well, I don't think it's fair to call it a portrait. It's more like an artist's rendition, an artist's idea of what Jesus would look like to him.
Was it done by a student?
Don't know, but it's hung there for 30 years. And they take it down when school accreditators come through. They take it down and hide it, and then they hang it back up.
Because they think they're doing something wrong?
Well, they're protecting Jesus.
Okay, but you were going back to what you said, that these women thought that Jesus told them to do that. Are they hearing Jesus tell them to do that?
Every Sunday from the pulpit.
Wasn't George Bush doing a mental health screening deal not too long ago?
The New Freedom Initiative?
I believe that's what it is, wants to have children.
Yeah, it's already in place.
So when do these people get their medication vouchers? I mean, I'm just curious.
I just peeped over at the chat room. Jesus the Norwegian.
Well, you know, Icelandic tradition goes,
Yeah, sure, you betcha. Let the suffered little children to come unto me. Gonna give them some lutefisk.
Jesus was Jewish, right?
Yeah, Palestinian.
Dark hair, dark eyes.
Mm-hmm. Brown skin.
Okay, did they have peroxide bleach?
So what it boils down to, if you really know your religious history, the ACLU should have said, take the picture of divine Apollo off your walls. Because as Christianity morphed into the dominant religion in the ancient world, what had formerly been depictions of Zeus became depictions of Almighty Jehovah, and what had formerly been depictions of Apollo became divine Apollo became depictions of Jesus, and the depiction of it could have been Isis, it could have been it became Mary, you know, with the hood over her head.
Oh yes, I
looking terribly anatomical.
But you know, we don't talk about pagans.
No,
that's bad. It scares the Jehovah Witnesses away.
I don't know.
From
that's a good idea, dear. I'm going to have to make a phone call to the ACLU and ask them to amend their pleadings to demand that the portrait of divine Apollo be taken off the walls of the Harrison County schools, and then watch the strychnine drinkers freak out. That's it. Well, look, we're up against the top of the hour. News is on the way. You know, I mean, you do know, art history-wise, that's kind of how it all worked out. Oh, brother. Well, at least they provide us some entertainment. Do you want to... Got anything to say? You're welcome to bring it on. Oh, bring it on. I did.
Oh, don't even.
Bad. Bad Bob. Anyway, we'll be back. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's a breeze that makes my breathing not so easy. I've had my lungs checked out with x-rays. I've smelled the hospital always. Someday I'll have a disappearing hairline. Someday I'll wear pajamas in the daytime.
This is the Quality News Network. The stock market rallied today with the biggest one-day gains for the Dow and NASDAQ in more than 3 years. We'll have the closing numbers at the end of the newscast. In Washington, the Supreme Court ruled today that holding military trials for detainees at Guantanamo Bay Prison is illegal. In the 3-5 vote, the majority said those trials go against U.S. law and the Geneva Conventions, which protect the rights of soldiers and prisoners of war. In response to the ruling, Bush administration officials say it will not affect how the prison is run. President Bush says he'll work with Congress to allow the trials to go forward. In Gaza City, Israeli aircraft hit the Palestinian Interior Ministry office. That's where Israelis believe terrorist activity is planned and directed. No injuries were reported. The strike came soon after reports that Israel was halting its advance into Gaza. Palestinian militants have reportedly offered a conditional release of an Israeli soldier whose abduction prompted Israel to attack. However, Israel denied such an offer was made. In Washington, the FBI says the personal information on 26 million veterans was not accessed from a laptop that contained that information. It was stolen nearly 2 months ago, but recently recovered based on information offered by an informant. Also in Washington, the Bush administration has announced a plan to sell 18 fighter jets to Pakistan. That's part of a $5 billion weapons deal that includes the option of buying more fighter jets and the modernization of Pakistan's existing aircraft. Congress has 30 days to approve the deal. In Atlanta, one of the 7 men accused of plotting domestic terrorist activities told investigators today that they planned to bomb FBI buildings and dynamite the Sears Tower. He was sent to Miami to await trial. On Capitol Hill, the House has voted to allow drilling in the Gulf of Mexico and other U.S. coastal areas. That would end a 25-year ban on drilling. However, the bill's future is uncertain in the Senate, where 2 Florida senators have vowed its defeat. The Associated Press reports that President Bush's plan to have 2,500 National Guardsmen on the Mexican border by June 30th will not be met. Many Guardsmen are busy responding to flooding in the east and wildfires in the west. In Pennsylvania, tens of thousands of residents who evacuated their homes in Wilkes-Barre are being allowed to return home. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The Federal Reserve once again raised interest rates today. They're up a quarter point to 5.25%. The Commerce Department reports that the U.S. economy grew at a 5.6% rate in the first quarter. That's the fastest growth in 2.5 years. Freddie Mac reports that mortgage rates rose for the third week in a row. The nationwide average for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is now 6.78%. Ford Motor says it will not produce 250,000 hybrid vehicles by 2010, as previously promised. The company says it instead wants to focus on vehicles that run on alternative fuels such as ethanol, clean diesel, and biodiesel. Verizon Wireless has announced a penalty customers pay for breaking their cell phone contracts is being reduced. Starting in the fall, the fee will be based on how much time remains on their current contract. Google is launching a payment service that stores users' credit card numbers so they can purchase items online faster. The internet search engine company is trying to expand its online reach. The $5 bill is being redesigned to thwart counterfeiting efforts. The design changes have not been announced, although the bill will still feature President Lincoln's face. The New York Times reports that the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline is now $2.87. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 217 points at 11,191, NASDAQ up 62 at 2174, S&P 500 up 27 at 1273. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
And of course, 6 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob. Of course, it's not just RU486. There's a growing hissy as well. You know that medical science has cured the human papillomavirus that leads to cervical cancer in women. And the thing is, in order for it to be completely effective, it has to be given to girls before they become, and you know, I mean, nothing to blush about here, before they become sexually active. And of course, the right to laughers and the moral values crowd, yeehaw, they're out there opposing this. That's what lets you know that they are certifiably, religiously insane. That or they are incredibly bad parents. Because the way they're spinning it is to say, well, if we give our daughter, if we get that, that'll make them think they can go ahead and have sex and be safe. Oh. But it, you know, it just it goes on and on. Well, I mean, look, here's the story from Probe Ministries. You know, I don't think I want to go. I don't think I want to go to church. Go to church anywhere run by Probe Ministries. If terrorists were caught attempting to manipulate the environment at America's colleges and universities so that 85% of all co-eds would graduate infected with a life-threatening virus, they would be vilified and prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Many media reports on a recent study about the effectiveness of condom use in deterring the spread of HPV, human papillomavirus. Have the potential to produce the same result. Irresponsible and or ignorant journalism producing a false sense of security may be able to accomplish what the most sophisticated terrorist operation would be unable to pull off.
What?
Yeah, I know that. Yeah, that was that. That was my darling wife Agnes making the Archie Bunker noise this time.
Wes.
Human papillomavirus, which can cause cervical cancer, genital warts, and vaginal, vulvar, and anal and penile cancers. Man, there's a murderer's row of words I hate to say, is the most common sexually transmitted disease, infecting about 80%.
What?
Huh?
No.
Infecting about 80% of young women within 5 years of becoming sexually active.
That is not so, and I know that to be a fact.
One of the arguments for abstinence prior to marriage is that condoms have not been shown to be effective in protecting against HPV and other STDs. A new study report published in the June 22nd edition of New England Journal of Medicine is entitled Condom Use and the Risk of Genital Human Papillomavirus Infection in Young Women. This study was structured to provide better information on the impact of male condom use on the likelihood of women contracting HPV.
You know, next they're going to be talking about the herpes simplex virus, and if you have chickenpox, then evidently you've had sex. What is wrong with these people?
The study found that sexually active college women whose male partners use condoms less than 100% of the time had a probability of contracting HPV within the first year of becoming sexually active. Okay. This whole thing is geared at the idea, and this is the way it operates in religion industry land. You take perfectly good science and you turn it on its head and say, see, it's Satan. Or you say, none of this would have happened if James Dobson could have exposed himself to your daughter in the shower. There is a vaccine out now that if given to girls before they become sexually active, you know, just to be on the safe side, 12 years old, 13 years old or so, keeps them from ever getting the human papillomavirus and thereby reducing the risk of ovarian cancer in them to almost nil. And the religion industry is running around out there saying that it's immoral. It's immoral and it's dangerous. Let's go to the phones. Andrew is with us from New York. Hey, Andrew, welcome to the program. Everything okay up that way? Yeah, terrible weather.
Okay, everything's fine. Everything's okay. Just, you know, laying low. But what was that, 80% of pre...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
80%?
Human papillomavirus is the most common sexually transmitted disease, infecting about 80% of young women within 5 years of becoming sexually active. Yeah, I mean, are you hearing that the way I'm reading it?
We all should have it then. We just haven't been diagnosed. That's ridiculous.
But you see, that's the problem. They'll just lie.
Yeah. I mean, it's like everybody says that, you know, American manufacturing is down, you know, saying like all the jobs have been all short and everything like that for the manufacturing industry, but where I see it, we're number one in manufacturing something.
Yeah.
Propaganda and BS.
Yeah, right.
That's ludicrous. That is,
And this is, you know, and it drives me crazy. I don't understand the mindset of a person who would be willing not only to sacrifice my children to disease, but their own.
Yeah.
And if they want to sacrifice their own, I think they're sick and psychotic and need to be locked away somewhere. But when it comes to wanting to sacrifice mine, well, you know, that's where you get on the fighting side of me.
Yeah, definitely. Gee, that's out there. Talk about psycho. But I wanted to call up about the VA. They found a laptop computer with all the VA Veterans Administration, you know, the veterans information on it.
You know, I heard that story, Andrew, and I kept listening for the part where they talked about where they found it.
Oh.
Did you ever get that part?
Yeah, they didn't say anything about where they found it, right? They said some kind of informant or whatever, right?
Yeah, I mean, pawn shop, back alley, you know.
And they said the information was never accessed to boot.
Yeah, and then they said, of course, a really good, effective computer person could access it, and we'd never know.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, you really have to listen to the second and the third sentences with this crowd to get the truth.
Yeah, you definitely you gotta you know. But when I saw the headline, I just said that's bull.
Beep.
I said that's utter bull right there. I was like, oh man. I said the only reason they did that is because they found out how much all those free credit checks were going to cost in the credit protection.
Well, it's not just that, Andrew. There was there was a story a couple of days ago. Somebody sued to stop the Veterans Affairs credit monitoring program to see if they could get a better deal. Because, you know, they ran right out and said, well, we've got this much money and we're going to award it to blah, 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 and they got sued.
Exactly.
So suddenly the laptop turns up.
Yeah, it turns up. Boom. Boom.
They're amazing, Andrew.
Oh, that's just, that's crazy. I mean, 2 months, huh?
Yeah, I'm so tired of faith-based government, aren't you?
Oh, gosh, faith-based. Just phonies and just charlatans and thieves and common criminals.
I just want some reality-based government.
Yeah.
I guess I'm crazy.
Yeah.
You too.
Back alley. Back alley government.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean...
Back room, you know, smoking the big stinky cigars and just, you know, sitting around playing cards and drinking booze.
Yeah, by the way, sir, where was the laptop found? Guy gave it to me. Which guy? This guy.
What? Well...
Well, I mean, like, he was holding it and he handed it to me and he said, here, take it.
No arrest, nothing?
Yeah. He was, yeah, I was just in the right place at the right time. Guy gave me a computer. It turned out to be the right one.
Well, that's Hitler-esque.
No, you know, that doesn't pass the beat cop stink test.
No, it does not. A rookie gumshoe could figure that out. You must be kidding me. Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, we're going down to the station. The sergeant's got to hear this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll be on the radio quick with that one. Did you hear this one?
Yeah, I got a TV, too.
Yeah.
Where'd you... This guy...
Oh man, oh, you gotta love it. But I don't know, it's just, you know, the Supreme Court decision today, I was like, okay, you know, whatever. I mean, Roberts couldn't judge on it. He couldn't rule on it because he had already ruled on it, right?
And yeah, so, he got it wrong for the first time, and he wasn't willing to go for two for two.
Exactly. So who were the five judges again?
It was Breyer and Souter and Ginsburg and Kennedy and Stevens.
Really? Okay. So Alito, Thomas, and
Scalia.
And Scalia.
Yeah. The wrong way triplets.
Oh man.
The constitutional scholars, the geniuses of originalism.
Yes, yes. Your senior members. Well, they're not senior members, but you know. In any event, it's like, well, with that decision, you know, for those three, at least America should know where they stand.
Yeah, your grand dragon and your exalted Clavin.
Huh?
Your grand dragon and your exalted Clavin.
Exactly, exactly. So we know where they stand now. If that doesn't, you know, show it, then nothing will.
Well, you know, I thought the voting rights thing, the redistricting thing spoke volumes.
Yeah, oh, that's... I was like, and then did you see Tom DeLay was on Chris Matthews last night?
I didn't see it, but I figured he'd show up somewhere gloating.
I was scrolling by through the channels, and I happened to see it, and I stopped for all of 10 seconds, and I couldn't take any more, and I just left.
That's about how long it takes before my eyes start burning.
Looks like I have a sound bite. I said, I can't listen. I can't look at him.
Oh. But this idea, they said that... a state may redistrict redraw its voting districts for any reason or no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you see that? Do you see the potential for abuse in that I do?
Yeah, I do.
You know, because you can say, you know, say that a bunch of Republicans redraw Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you sue them and say, hey, this is clearly racist.
Yeah.
A redistricting plan. This is pure race-based disenfranchisement. And the defense now because of this ruling is, well, no, we didn't draw it along racial lines. We redistricted for no reason.
What was that game back in the 70s? What was it, Spirograph? What was that?
Yeah.
That's what the districting maps will look like.
Well, you know, it's the state Republican convention, a Spirograph, a Ouija board, and a case of cheap beer, you know, and a couple of hookers, and, man, you're redistricted.
Yeah, they might as well just, like, make a checkerboard out of it and just, you know, one for me, one for you, two for me, one for you.
And no votes for them people.
Exactly.
They'll have a
half-working voting machine, and, you know, and then the polling place would be locked anyway, so...
And of course, you know, after the California president, the polling machines were kept in Aunt Irma's basement without the lock on the door. I want me a real government, Andrew. I'm getting real tired of this.
I know. This is like it's ridiculous, actually, and I think it comes from, you know, like, I think they need to start teaching civics a lot more in, you know, like high school and, you know, even earlier than that, maybe middle school, 7th, 8th grade, you know, so people can just understand how the government works.
Well, the thing that scares me, though, is that there are people out there who refer to the public school system as government schools and want the government schools to be eliminated.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't. They want an uninformed public. And, I mean, I should have said not only teaching, you know, how the government works, but how a lawful government works, you know, Pleiad International. And, you know, you got to start instilling that in the youth because, as far as we're concerned, we're pretty much, you know, lost.
Well, you know, I would.
Our generation, the majority, but.
Well, I mean, like I said, those lovely middle-aged women who taught patriotism to me and stuff, they were trying hard, and they believed in what they were teaching, and I don't hold anything against them. The only thing is that it turns out it was a fraud.
Yeah.
Because I didn't get what they promised me was waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it was stolen and broken before I got it.
Yep. Yep, exactly. So it has to be like, you know, a lawful, you know, a civil society. We're supposed to be a civil society, so it's like, you know, we got to start, you know, working with the youth because they're the ones that are going to have to be politically aware of what their government is doing, aware of how their government affects them in every aspect of their lives, whether, you know, it's just like Peristalsis, the government is supposed to secure the people at large.
Yeah.
And that should be an automatic thing. That shouldn't be something where it's being undermined or, you know, abused. That should come automatic. And then there are other, you know, issues that can be dealt with in a civil manner. And we got to get, you know, as far as our voting, we have to clean up our voting. And, I mean, because voting is the cornerstone of, you know, democracy. So if your vote's not being counted, then democracy's dead.
Well, did you see that article in the Washington Post either yesterday or day before? I think the headline was, election can be turned by one person.
Yeah.
And it was a scholarly sort of, like the military does war games. It was hypotheticals and scenarios and everything. And they came down to the conclusion that these electronic voting machines could, an entire national election could be turned by one person with access to the right stuff.
Simple, just move one keystroke too.
Yeah. So instead of worrying about a tin pot dictator 8,000 miles away who could maybe if the wind was blowing right and he held his tongue just so and stood on one leg and put the other one in a wash bucket and had the right kind of scientist and maybe on a day with a day that ends in R, he could bomb London.
Yeah.
Instead of getting involved in all of that, let's worry about the one dude that can destroy an entire republic
exactly.
With access to a flash media card.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Standing in the corner, just going like, sitting at home somewhere, waiting for the call and whatnot.
Well, yeah, I mean, have you heard Clint Curtis interviewed, Andrew?
Mm-hmm.
He developed all of that software at the behest of Tom Feeney, who was then Florida Speaker of the House. He's gone on to Congress, and it was all done for Wang Industries in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And he developed the way to flip elections without it even being noticeable on the touch screen.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have those little optical scanners and different things behind them. And, you know, it's like.
And you just had to know what blank part of the board to touch.
Yeah. That's it. And it's, you know, that's criminal. So, I mean, that's treason, actually. You know, when you start sticking with elections, you know, excuse me, but when you start screwing around with elections, then that's, you know, that's treasonous.
Well, it is. And our good friend Mark Levine, who's on now from 2 to 3 in the afternoons here on the Horn, he asked a very cogent question, I think it was Monday. He said, why is it that attempted murder is a crime, but attempting to murder a democracy is not? Because the distinction he was drawing is that, you know, Salon and some other people came out and said that Robert F. Kennedy's article in Rolling Stone about election fraud, well, he didn't prove it was stolen. And what Mark asked, and I thought asked very intelligently and very well, is since when do we have to prove it was stolen? All we have to prove is that there was an attempt, and he proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt.
An attempt. Even an attempt. It's criminal.
The Justice Department today, Andrew, said it was okie dokie, fine by them, Georgia's new voter ID requirement system.
Yeah, the voter idea.
You know, it's not another year or so, it'll be wax paper and ballpoint pens to sign your name.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not literate. Sorry, go away.
Go away. But when people say that, you know, the elections, you got proof that the elections were, you know, messed around with. It has happened in the past by Dems. I'm sure Dems did it, and just look at Daley in Chicago. But, I mean,
never on this scale, Andrew.
Cheating the electoral process, the election process, is regardless of how you do it, be it with voting machine or, you know, how about the phone jamming that they did? And those two guys, didn't they get convicted over that?
Yeah, New Hampshire, sure.
That's proof there. I mean, it's just not just the voting machines. It's all the strong-arm tactics that the Voting Rights Act of 65 was, you know, put in place to try and, if not end it, reduce it significantly.
Well, what does it say now that the Republicans say that they won't renew the Voting Rights Act?
Well, that's, you know, of course they won't. I mean, it's still on the books until 2007, so, but, which this is a major... These 2006 midterms are major elections, so...
We got one more chance.
It's still in effect right now, so...
Andrew, we have one more chance.
We got one more chance. This is the chance. This is it. And if not, I don't have $600,000 to move to Canada.
No. No,
I heard you need a net worth of about that. So, well over $500,000.
And they still haven't gotten, from my standpoint, they still haven't gotten around to annexing the Turks and Caicos Islands.
No.
And Canada's just too cold.
Yeah, it's cold, but maybe Vancouver.
But see, that's the thing. I would rather retake democracy in a nice, warm, pleasant place.
Me too, but this is the election right here. This is it. Because if they hold the majority after these midterms, in my honest opinion, I think, yeah, the Voting Rights Act will be crossed.
Yeah.
They'll never vote on it. They'll just keep delaying it like they do everything else until they get the vote tally they want.
If they get 2006, then 2008, I don't care if we run Hillary and Barack.
You don't care. You can run Jesus Christ.
He ain't winning.
He ain't winning. No win. He got no call. None. Done.
So, you know, it makes what happens in November so much more important.
Yeah.
And I wish our party would kind of figure that out, Andrew.
Yeah, well, a lot of our party, some of our party, a good chunk of it is you know, in their party, and they're on their side.
Well, and they're kind of happy where they are. They don't have to succeed.
No.
They just have to kind of carp and complain a little bit and go along and get along and get that little brown paper bag with all the money in it from the lobbyist.
Exactly. They're on the take, so, hey, they just, you know, saying, well, I got mine, so you go get yours.
Well, we got to get ours, Andrew.
Exactly. But they're sitting back, you know, in the back room saying, ha, ha, ha. Yeah.
Well, we
got them fooled and we got them shook.
God, I hope not. I hope, yeah. It's worth raising a little bit of a ruckus over, I think.
Well, I don't know. But Barack Obama, I'll save that for another time. We're coming up on the break.
All right, another time then, Andrew. Barack Obama, I've got it written down.
Yeah.
You think you'll need 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or an hour?
I don't know. I don't know what I'll need. I know I'll probably need a beer afterwards. I don't know.
That in a shower?
Yeah, basically.
All right, take care, Andrew.
Take it easy.
Bye now. Our good friend Andrew in New York. I think why he was Barack, this thing about dialoguing with right-wing Babylonians. I don't understand Hey, Ma, the alligator bit my arm off. Well, you darn fool, you put it in his mouth. I mean, that's kind of where I am. Let's go to the break. Last couple of chances to get the bee out from under your bonnet, the burr out from under your saddle. This is Head On, the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I'd like to do now for you the song that is my favorite, my favorite, my favorite. Ooh, 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 ooh.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Hey, John, I just heard you got a new computer. Congratulations.
Thanks. It's the coolest thing.
What'll you do with your old computer?
I don't know. I guess I'll just throw it away.
Well, my company just bought new computers, and we decided to donate the old PCs to a place that gives them to local schools. You could do something like that.
Seriously, who would want a 3-year-old computer?
Hey, it might be great for someone else. Computers can be refurbished and reused instead of ending up in the trash. By passing it on, you can help the community and the environment.
If you're replacing your company's IT equipment, or you're finished using your personal computer, pass it on to a local organization that accepts computers. To learn more, log on to epa.gov/passiton. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information on all partners, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
I love that song. That is the Selectors, Celebrate the Bullet. 26 minutes and change before the hour. And we're winding down, and I got to tell you, I'm wound down. Long day. Not supposed to do that in highly professional radio. You're never supposed to see the nuts and bolts. But again, we're trying to do something a little different here this time through. Not just tonight, but every day on the Horn. Because I'm no celebrity. And this is just front porch. This is a great big worldwide front porch. And I hope you enjoy the time to relax at the end of the day and just kick back in the rocking chair and, as we say, cuss and discuss. But I got a couple of leftovers from prayer meeting night, because we so thoroughly involved ourselves with matters of high import yesterday evening. I'm a baseball fan, and I follow it. Well, it's a lot of fun to sit down with Dad and watch a baseball game. It's like watching baseball with the baseball encyclopedia. So when I saw this story, I sort of gasped. Now, for those of you who do follow baseball, you know about the verbal miscue or verbal gaffe or just hateful, mean-ass little statement that White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen made not too long past. Basically, he called a reporter faggot, something like that. Well, you know, when you really want that sensitivity and understanding, you've got to go to the religion industry. This is straight off of the copy. A pro-family activist in Illinois is criticizing Major League Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig over his decision to require the manager of the Chicago White Sox to undergo sensitivity training. See, that's how they do that on right-wing radio, make fun of sensitivity training. You know, sensitivity training just boils down to trying to teach some otherwise knuckle-walking Neanderthalic types of people that there's just some you don't do a bunch of things you don't do in polite society. White Sox skipper Ozzie Guillen was recently fined an undisclosed amount by Major League Baseball and ordered to attend sensitivity training for using the word fag to refer to Chicago Sun-Times columnist Jay Mariotti. Selig said the use of slurs embarrasses the individual, the club, and the game. Yeah, okay, for once I agree with Bud Selig. And Guillen said he'll have the training done before the All-Star game on July 11th. Enter one Pete LaBarbera. He's head of something called the Illinois, you know this word's got to be in there, Family Institute. And he came out to tell the world that Major League Baseball went overboard. This is the quote from Pete LaBarbera. The fact that they're going to require this man to undergo sensitivity training, pro-homer sectional training, which will likely violate his moral and his religious beliefs, is just astonishing. We're coming to the point in America now where people of faith can have their rights and their beliefs trampled over in the name of supporting the homer sectional agenda. Mr. Guillen has run into the liberal thought police. You know, you give them an inch, and they'll show you their crosses and their white sheets and their hoods. So this Christian is in favor of Ozzie Guillen being able to call anyone fag whom he wants to. Next, what if it, where would Mr. Well, I'm not even going to say the words because I am not going to befoul my own mouth. I think it's astonishing to see the media in Chicago and maybe across the country bending so easily to this idea of when you say this word. I don't say the word F-A-G, but the idea that this is a slur analogous to racism is just ridiculous. They got to have somebody to hate, don't they? They have to have someone to hate. The fact is that Ozzie Guillen said something he shouldn't have said, but should he be going through re-education and having his religious beliefs trampled over in support of the homosexual agenda because he said fag? No way. We have to guard and protect our freedoms now more than ever in this country because gay activists are out to silence us. You know, we can have civil society or we can have chaos. These guys want chaos. Especially in some southern states, there are still laws on the books called fighting words laws. And those laws say that there are some words that are the emotional and moral equivalent of just hitting someone. So that if somebody says something to you, you know, yo mama, that you have the right to punch him in the face at that point. Or just beat the tar out of him. Because it is the equivalent of a blow. and that you cannot be prosecuted for hitting someone after they have said something raunchy and repulsive and repugnant to you. So what Peter LaBarbera of the Illinois Family Institute wants is an America where instead of being admonished and taught that you don't do that kind of thing in polite society, Peter LaBarbera, these religion industry monsters, want to take us back in time to a very vengeful, hateful society. Because Manager Guillen exposed his own profound ignorance. That word's got to be treated like some others. It's got to have its value taken away from it. It's schoolyard stuff, where you expect. You know, why is it that children, you know, as soon as they get a little too old to use "you're a poopy head," they go for "you're a fag, you're lazy," and apparently that's right where Ozzie Guillen stayed. And he hasn't figured out that criticizing someone's sexual orientation or lack thereof should not be viewed in anything approaching civilized society as an insult. But instead, Peter LaBarbera wants to go back to a day where Jay Mariotti, upon being called fag, could take a baseball bat and beat in Ozzie Guillen's head. You see? These people, whether it's language or culture or law, politics, they are reversionists, regressionists. They want to go backwards. They want to get away from the idea of representative forms of government and of civil society. They want to go back to a day when might makes right. And, you know, in world history, we've seen that model used more often than not. And everywhere it's used, it comes to nothing but grief. That commentary I had last night from that filthy, filthy monster James Dobson, where he said the liberal media has ignored the polls in 19 states that said they don't want no fag marriage. Well, you know, see, that doesn't hold water, because a lot of those same states that had those polls also had polls that said we can't have mixing of the races, or little white children can't drink from the same fountains that little black children drink from. But that's majority rule. And that's the kind of might makes right majority rule that these anti-democratic, anti-freedom, anti-American monsters would take us back to. Would you leave a little child alone with James Dobson? Would you leave a little child alone with Peter LaBarbera? I wouldn't. I wouldn't leave a little child, or a grown-up for that matter, alone with Jesse M. French. You know, with a name like French, you know the story's going to be good. This is out of Florida. Dateline Coco from the Orlando Sentinel. The pastor of a Rock Ledge church has been charged with raping a member of his congregation after anointing her with oil and telling her God wanted them to have sex, police said Tuesday. Now, you can contrast this with a case that's going on out in Oklahoma. Covered in the Sepulpa Herald, Morning Glory of Freedom, whatever. And we covered this story a few months back a judge, a circuit judge out there, trial judge, you know, the flowing robes, the eminence. This guy got busted for using a manual vacuum penis pump during trials under his robes. He got busted when one of the cops was when one of the cops was testifying, and he kept hearing a shh 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 sound.
Wait a minute! He was playing with the pump while he was on the bench.
Yeah, I mean this is straight out of Austin Powers.
Were there Mylar balloons involved?
No, you know custom Swedish penis pump. It's my bag, baby.
That's sad. That is so sad.
Well, no, there's a contrast here, okay? Because I want full disclosure. This judge is a Democrat. All right?
I don't care what he was. It's still sad.
It's pathetic, yeah. But this judge was a Democrat. Now contrast it. Right-wing Republican preacher charged with rape of a member of his congregation after anointing her with oil and telling her God wanted them to have sex.
Was it Wesson Oil?
James Dobson writes books telling fathers to expose themselves to their little boys in the shower. And this, I mean, there's on and on and on with these right-wing Republican Bush-voting sickos, okay? Oh, God, I had another one in the stack. I've lost it since then. All of these are little children, women, non-consensual type situations. On the other hand, I got to tell you, I kind of knew when I read the story about the pump and the judge, I kind of knew the guy was going to wind up being a Democrat because no one was getting hurt. No one was getting hurt. It was just him and his happy little pump. On the other hand, let's go back to the Rockledge Church, because this gets better and better. Jesse M. French, 43, of Solid Life Ministries, Church of Disciples, U.S. Highway 1. Was arrested Thursday on 10 counts of sexual battery and 15 counts of lewd and lascivious conduct. He's 43. The church member, the congregant, 21 years old. And she told police that Jesse French was her spiritual advisor. And the abuse started about 4 months ago. She said she was tired, and the pastor said he needed to anoint her with oil. Well, the anointing led to fondling. And then 10 occasions of sex. Okay, so we've got another dirty preacher. Surprise! Not. But it gets better. Because after all, this is Bushmerica, and you always know with these kind of stories there's going to be a twofer. A Brevard County organization, also by the name of Solid Life Ministries, wait for it, received $43,534 from the federal government last year to help house victims of Hurricane Katrina. I'm shocked, but I can believe it, considering the individual, Thomas Palumbo, president of the Rockledge Mall Association, said after learning of the rape charges late Tuesday, I have no intention of renewing their lease. Well, good for you, Mr. Palumbo. Police said the victim told investigators she repeatedly tried to stop the encounters, but French would read the Bible to her and quote scripture to prove that God wanted them to do it. Dig it. You and me, we paid Mr. French. French?
Don't you do it.
Go and get Buffy and Jody and take them down to the park and pimp them for a while. French? No, Mr. French has numerous arrests, but the most fun part is that you and I paid Mr. French, I'm sorry, Reverend French, Brother French, $43,534 to house Katrina victims. This 21-year-old girl tried and tried and tried to make it stop. How many Katrina victims do you suppose he told God wanted them to have sex? And if they refused, how many Katrina victims do you suppose feared they would be put out on the street somewhere in Florida, hundreds of miles from their homes? Because, you see, police said they fear that other members of the congregation may also have been abused. See, it's a preacher, so we only call it abuse. It's not rape. This guy opens the church door to homeless people and charges them $5 a night and won't let them in if they don't pay. See, this is the downside of my faith. What's left of it. Because if God was on the job, no more Mr. French. Landlord Palumbo said as many as 15 homeless people, including young women and children, slept at the church nightly. Pamela Kamara, the Mall Association's project manager, said, "It was like a racket." No, sugar, it was a racket. It was American right-wing religion. And it's all a racket. And that is why I get a little bit green around the gills when I see Hillary and Barack out there saying that he wants to reach out to these people. These values voters. I don't want the values that those values voters manifest. I would rather build an America around them than through them. Maybe that's just me. But in Guantanamo, 400 men who have no idea why they're there are living in dog cages. And a couple of hundred miles north, a man calling himself the anointed of God is trading blessings for a little of the old nasty. And you share my grief. But the right-wingers I hear from ask me why I'm angry. Well, wingnuts, do you understand yet? Of course not. You're not very smart, and you never will. All right, that's tonight. Coming up, our good friend, our buddy, our chief engineer, John Fox. All foxed up for a Thursday night. Stick around. It was a lot of fun last night. Great topics. John may have found himself a little niche in the environmental news kind of alley.
John's great.
But he's a dandy. Nothing like him anywhere else on radio. The show tonight, of course, was produced by my darling wife, Agnes. John Fox is the chief engineer. Brian Reznor announces. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers of Tallahassee, Florida, is our IT professional. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. He maintains the streams of all the Horn programming, as well as their archives and podcasting. And the archives of some other pretty darn fine liberal programming as well. Check it out. He's got a fundraiser going on. Won't send you the bill. You've got to do the right thing, just because it's the right thing to do. The shows of the Horn happen every day because of the thousands of members of the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. I saw them working at the hospital today in Charleston. Gave them a little thumbs up and said, way to go, guys. Makes me feel better about the hospital knowing it was built with union labor. And of course, always, 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 RMR. It's all for you.